Would you like to know what one of the keys to getting through our times of suffering is? Well, here's Skip Heitzik to tell us.
Your attitude will make or break you. It's all about your attitude. Do you know people with bad attitudes? It doesn't matter what happens to them. It's always a bad attitude. Some people, it's always a good attitude. The attitude of the Christian in suffering is all important. You see, you and I getting through these episodes, good or bad, pass or fail, all depends on our attitude toward the will of God and our attitude toward the Word of God.
Make the connection.
Late last year, Microsoft introduced a whole new way to play video games, with your body. Kinect is a motion sensor-based gaming device that uses a low-res camera to detect movement in 3D space. In short, your body becomes the controller. It's a fascinating piece of technology that works great, as long as the camera doesn't lose track of you. If it does, you'll lose control of what you're doing, and it's game over. The same is true in our spiritual lives. Things will go great as long as we keep God in sight. If we lose track of Him, suddenly everything can feel like it's out of control. And we'll explore that more in just a moment with Skip Heitzik today on The Connection. But first, if you've ever wanted to take a year to go through the Bible, Skip's new book can help you do just that.
On average, people spend about 7.6 hours sleeping, 8.8 hours at work, 2.6 hours in leisure or athletic activities, an hour with household activities, about an hour eating and drinking, 1.3 hours caring for others, and 1.7 hours engaging in all other activities. But where does God fit into that schedule? With the Daily God Book, Skip Heitzik provides you with a simple yet efficient system for getting through the entire Bible in just 1 year. As you go from Genesis to Revelation in 365 days of devotion from Skip Heitzik. Get your copy of the Daily God Book for just $15. Plus, when you order, we'll also send you the New Year's Revolution booklet as a free bonus. Order the Daily God Book today for a fresh start in God's Word tomorrow. It's just $15, and it comes with that free bonus booklet when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
Even though you and I may lose track of God every now and then, the good news is He will never lose track of us. He always has His eye on us, and He's always looking out for us. It may feel at times like God can't be found, but that's usually because we just aren't looking. Stay tuned for more today here in The Connection.
And make the connection.
Turn in your Bible to Job chapter 23, and we'll join Skip Heitzik as he continues with his teaching.
When my son Nate was a wee tyke, as they say in Scotland, he loved to play hide and seek. So a lot of times at night, Lenya, my wife, and Nathan, my son, and I would play hide and seek, turn off all the lights. Well, one night he was hiding from his mom, and I said, Nate, I got the best hiding place. So while mom was going to go count, I pushed Nathan up on top of my bookshelf, really high, a very narrow ledge, the kind of place that any child would be scared of, especially in the dark, especially when I was now going to hide and Nate did not know where I was. So he didn't know where I was, didn't know where mom was, but here's Nate on top of the bookshelves on the narrow ledge, snickering, just having the time of his life. Now, why is it that a child who would normally be scared in the dark on top of a tall ledge be having such a great time? Because he knew that I knew where he was. Do you get that? That knowledge enabled him to enjoy the whole experience. He didn't know where I was. He didn't know where mom was. But he knew that I knew where he was, and he had the time of his life. Here's Job. I don't know where God is, but God knows where I am. He knows where I am. It says in Psalm 1, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. He knows where you are. Psalm 37 helps further that truth. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God knows where you are. So God is not always apparent, but God is always aware. And here's the third applicational truth about God. God is always at work. He is always at work. Did you notice in verse 9, he says, when he works on the left? Job knows that God's working around him. He can't perceive it, he says, but he's working around him. But more to our point, in verse 10, the second part, when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. God's not just working around me, God's working in me. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Now, this has been a sustaining truth for me. For many years, I've resorted to this verse. Because what it tells me is that Job discovered is that God isn't just up there knowing things. See, that's just not enough to say, well, God knows. And there is God. He's up in heaven, folded arms, just sort of stroking his chin, knowing. He's just knowing everything. He's knowing you're going through this. And there you are. And he knows that. There's more than that. He's not just up there knowing things. He's doing things. He's actually using this experience to work something out in me. That's the idea of the verse. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. I hope you can see this, that this is the great dividing line between the believer and the unbeliever, between the follower of Christ who believes in the grand design of God versus the unbeliever who doesn't follow or believe in some grand design for his life. You see, an unbeliever at his purest, the humanist at his purest, not only sees no grand design for himself or the universe, but sees pain as absolutely purposeless, useless, except to be avoided at all costs. All I know about pain is it hurts, and I don't want none. That's about it. Dostoevsky, Fyodor Dostoevsky, the Russian novelist, was accurate when he said, if there is no God, then everything is permissible. And the first thing that is permissible is despair. He was dead on. If there's no God, then there's no purpose for the universe. There's no purpose for my suffering. I just need to figure out a way to get out of it and get around it and avoid it at all costs. And typically, that could lead to despair. However, that is not Job's philosophy. For Job, this furnace that he is in is a divine appointment. Behind the furnace is a goldsmith, a divine goldsmith, a master goldsmith. And Job is in the furnace not to pay off some sin, not to adjust some karma, but God has him there to test him, to purify him. Now, what I've been told is that when a goldsmith would heat up gold, and this is more like in the old days of it, the fire would be applied to the bottom, the gold would heat up, it would melt, it would turn to liquid, and the dross, the impurities, would rise to the surface, and once they would rise, the goldsmith would skim them off. He'd wait a while longer, apply more heat, more impurities would rise, he would skim them off. And when was the goldsmith finished? When he could look atop the surface of the gold, peer just for a moment, and see his reflection without impurity. When he could see his reflection, he was done. See where I'm going with this? When are your trials going to be all over? When do you not need to go through any more pain or any more heat? When Jesus Christ is perfectly seen in you. You're sitting there quiet, as if to say, there's a lot of work to be done yet. The master goldsmith is at work. But gold doesn't fear the fire, does it? Because when gold goes into the fire, it goes in impure and comes out pure, better, improved. That's the thought of 1 Peter chapter 1. These trials are only to test your faith to show that it is strong and pure. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor in the day when Jesus is revealed in the world. Now, let me just say this. If you're going through the furnace now, God's eye is on you and his hand is on the thermostat. He hasn't forgotten about you. It's not like he allowed you to go in the furnace and then he got distracted like some divine case of ADD and he forgot all about you there. And then one day he goes, oh no, they've been like roasting too long. Not at all. Always under his careful supervision. And have you noticed, as I have noticed, that just as gold gets purer from the greatest amount of heat, so lives of Christian people seem to get better and sweeter when they're tried by affliction? Have you ever thought about some of the great songs that have been sung or things that have been written and when they were written? You know the song that is sung at every Graham crusade, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." Charlotte Elliott wrote that when she became an invalid. And there, feeling useless as an invalid, came this strong revelation of God to her heart. And she wrote that song of surrender. Pilgrim's Progress, one of the great pieces of literature of all time, written by John Bunyan in the Bedford jail. I'm so glad he went to jail. I am so glad how many countless thousands, millions have been blessed by his writings. And by the way, I'm glad Paul the Apostle went to jail. See, Ephesians, Philippians, Philemon, Colossians, those are prison epistles. Those were written while he was suffering in prison. And some of the great sweet fruit that has encouraged us are because of those times of suffering. So here's Job amid the furnace of suffering. And Job says, I'm here in the furnace. I didn't find God, but God has found me. And in the furnace, I have found comfort in knowing that God has found me and I am in a refining process. So that's God's activity. What is our attitude to be? Well, I'll just say this as we jump into these final two verses. Your attitude will make or break you. It's all about your attitude. You know people with bad attitudes? It doesn't matter what happens to them. Always a bad attitude. Some people, it's always a good attitude. The attitude of the Christian in suffering is all important. You see, you and I getting through these episodes, good or bad, pass or fail, all depends on our attitude toward the will of God and our attitude toward the Word of God. So number one, what it takes is the pursuit of God's will. Verse 11, my foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. Just let that sink in for a moment. Hear what he's saying. What Job is saying strikes a death blow to Satan's accusation. Remember back in chapter 1 and chapter 2, Satan accused Job saying, God, look, let's get real here, all right? This Job character is so righteous because you have so financially blessed him. I guarantee you, if you remove your blessing, if you take away his stuff, or if you take away his family, he will curse you to your face. Never happened. Never happened. Not only did that never happen, but Job here says, my foot has held fast to his steps. I have stuck with God. I have dogged his steps, and I have pursued him, and I have persevered. By the way, you know that Job is only mentioned one time in the New Testament? You know what he's mentioned for? You know what he's noted for? Perseverance. James chapter 5, for you have heard of the perseverance of Job. What is James referring to? This. What Job is saying, you know what? Whether God strokes me with blessings or strikes me with blows, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to pursue his will for my life. And so Satan is finally silenced because Job was not an Alka-Seltzer follower. Let me explain that. It's a little phrase I came up with years ago. You know, Alka-Seltzer, you throw it into the water, it makes a big splash and a lot of fizz, but then it fizzles out. There's people like that. They come to Christ and they make a big splash and, oh God, and hallelujah, praise Jesus, wee! And you see them a year later and they don't even have a Bible anymore. They're not, they've took their Bible and gone home. Some expectation they had of God wasn't met and they just stopped following him altogether. That's an Alka-Seltzer follower. Here's Job. Imagine what he's been through. And he says, God's will is all important to me. The second thing, and it dovetails into it, is a passion for God's word. Verse 12, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Do you hear this? This is Job saying this while his body is still covered with boils. It's not like he just had a bad day and couldn't find a parking place. He's on a bed of pain. But he's saying, I rest my soul on the soft pillow of God's transforming truth. I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my food. This is one of my favorite all-time verses in the Bible. I've inscribed it at the front of many of my Bibles. I've inscribed it at the beginning of many of my study books in my library. I love verse 12. I love verse 12. He's saying, God's word is my nourishment. Verse 12 ranks right up there with other great texts that teach the same truth, like Jeremiah 15, verse 16. The prophet said, your words were found, and I ate them, and they were to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. That's Jeremiah 15, 16. Or Matthew chapter 4, Jesus quoting Deuteronomy, you know it well. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's my nourishment. Somebody put it so well, I've said it and you've heard it a dozen times this month. A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to somebody who isn't. Nourishment. Now, understand that I watch people who suffer. I watch them a lot. It's the vantage point I have as a pastor. Not only do I get to suffer, I get to watch others go through it. And I see the different responses. And I see some people who go into the fire and get burned. Burned. They come out burned and bitter and singed and almost consumed by an episode of a trial. But I watch others go through the fire and they're not burned. In fact, they're better. They're improved. They come out and you go, man, what happened to you? You sound so mature. It's so, like you have character. What happened? I've been suffering lately by God's grace. I've been in the furnace. I've been tried. The goldsmith has turned up the heat. And this is me coming forth. What makes the difference? Attitude. Attitude toward the will of God. Attitude toward the word of God. You see, it works this way. If you are nourished by the word of God and submitted to the will of God, when you go through the furnace, it's going to hurt. But you'll be better. It will hurt. It's not like Christians' pain is any less than unbelievers' pain. It's not like a broken leg. Well, I'm a Christian. It's actually okay. No, it's not. It hurts. But if, on the other hand, you resist God's will and you fail to feed on his word, the fire will burn you and not make you better, but make you bitter. Bitter. I see a lot of bitter people who are consumed by the trials. I was on the phone this week to a friend of mine. I've become a friend of his over the last 8 years or so. His name is Ken Mansfield. Ken Mansfield was the president of Apple Records USA. He was the Beatles manager when they were in the States. He was on the rooftop when they did that outdoor concert in London. And he became a Christian. And so I've corresponded with him and I've done some events with Ken. Ken has had a bad bout with colorectal cancer lately and has had radiation and chemotherapy and therapy and therapy. He says, Skip, it was the darkest part of my life. I went dark, he said. I went dark. And then he said, Skip, I was trying to find God. I couldn't perceive him. I couldn't hear him. Now, he's telling me this as I'm reading and preparing for this message this week. He happened to call me. He said, I cried out. I just wanted to hear some word of comfort from God. And I got nothing for a while. In fact, it got so bad, I said, honestly, God, this is hurting our relationship. He said, what I heard from the Lord, what scripture friends of mine and pastors of mine spoke to me, spoke into my life, and is not what I expected or wanted to hear. It was simply, be still and know that I am God. He said, strangely, I was able to be still enough to let that comfort me. And now I know that he knows. And he said, I'm back. So, understand that invisible doesn't mean unavailable.
Well, but I can't see.
So?
But I can't hear.
Okay. But is knowing that God knows and is using this, and this is temporary, you will hear from him. He will manifest himself at some point. Will that carry you through? You remember the story in the New Testament, because Jesus really is the ultimate fulfillment of all of this. He is the Word made flesh. He came and was God manifest in human flesh, so he could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But he left. He's not here anymore either. So do you remember the time when Thomas was in the upper room after Jesus rose from the dead? Thomas didn't believe it, and Thomas goes, okay, you guys may all fall for this religious stuff, but I'm a pragmatist. I've got to actually touch the holes in his hands, feet, and side before I'll believe. Now, the only ones in that room were Thomas and the other friends of Thomas. Jesus wasn't in the room when he said that. A few days later, Jesus shows up. Just, ta-da, appears in the room. Doesn't even come through the door. Just shows up. Walks right over to Thomas. Says, Thomas, I heard what you said. Here's my hands. Place your fingers and touch and see that it is me, and be no longer unbelieving but believing. What do you think were the first thoughts that crossed Thomas's mind? I think they must have been, how did he know that? He wouldn't hear when I said that. How did he know that I said that? I only told them. Ah, he wasn't there? You just thought he wasn't there. You couldn't see him, but he was there. He was there. You didn't perceive him, but he was there. You didn't hear him, but he was there. You didn't touch him, but he was there. Unavailable was not the issue. Imperceptible was the issue. So invisible does not mean unavailable. God knows where you're at. God's working in the midst of it. Hold on, follow him, be nourished on the word, and watch what great fruit will come out of it.
We're conditioned to think that whatever we can see, smell, hear, taste, and touch is real. However, just because our first five senses can't detect God doesn't make him less real. We may not always be able to find him with the natural senses, but through prayer, Bible study, and faith, we'll discover that he's never far away, always available and accessible, and yes, that he is indeed very real. And that's all the time we have for today, but in order to bring you these daily studies, we rely on your support. And more than that, in order to share the good news of the Bible with people in other parts of the world, we're absolutely dependent on your support. As a member of the Global Connectors, you can help change the lives of people in places like Mongolia and Belize by supporting the international outreach of this ministry. Plus, each month you're a member, you'll also receive a free gift as our thanks. Find out more about the Global Connectors and how you can join when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. And for a copy of the study we heard today, When God Can't Be Found, just call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. Each copy is just $6, which includes shipping. Plus, anything you can share above that suggested donation helps us bring you these daily times in God's Word. The Connection wouldn't even be here without the support of our listeners. So if you enjoy studying God's Word like this each day, consider sharing just a little extra to help this ministry continue and to bless even more people with the good news of the Bible all around the world. Find out more about how you can support this ministry or how to order any of our resources when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
As we reach the end of our study in the book of Job, next time we'll learn what Job ultimately discovered during his time of suffering. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.